Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Monday, August 6, 2012. My name is Sally Baptist and I'll be hosting the show tonight. And my co-host is Charlie Klein. Here at American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, we know what the problem is. We know where the problem is, and we know what we need to do to fix it, but it's not so easy to do. We know that we've been invaded by the politicians. When right now, here in Florida, come August 14th, we have the primary coming up, and we have a chance to help streamline and get rid of some of those career politicians that have invaded Washington, D.C. We've got to get them out of the primary process as much as possible and start letting the citizen representatives become go to Washington, D.C. and start representing us instead of the career politicians who game the system against us. So we've got that problem. And then, of course, the other reason why we have the problem is because people do not get actively engaged. Americans have too many Americans have forgotten about the American's creed. And I like to read it from time to time because I just think it's so relevant to who we are and what we're going through today and why we need to live up to the American's Creed. So I'm going to take just a minute to read it here. The American's Creed by William Tyler Page. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed. A democracy and a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon those principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. This was written in 1917 and accepted by the United States House of Representatives on April 3rd, 1918. And you can go into ushistory.org and get a copy of it yourself if you would like. But the whole point is this is what America is supposed to be. Of the people, by the people, for the people. The powers are derived from the consent of the governed. A nation of many sovereign states. That's what the United States is supposed to be about. That's what the Constitution was written for. And then that other very last part, which is where we are at today. If we do not believe, we're not going to save this country. This therefore believe it is my duty. It is my duty to defend it against all enemies. That is where we're at today. We must defend this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And it really is that simple, but not simple to do. The other is getting on to some other things for today, what we're going to talk about. And this is why we talk here in American Statesman about the Second Revolution. We have a Second Revolution. That's all there is to it. If we don't, and if we're not successful in the Second Revolution, the United States of America will no longer exist. We have to accept the fact that there's many evildoers out there who want to make us one world order, one world government, take away our rights to own property and things like that. And we have got to come together as a united people to protect it. And I think one of the biggest things, and I just got to get this out here, I've said it a couple times lately, and I'll be saying it more before November, that we don't stand a chance if we don't send Americans to Washington, D.C. If we keep dividing people up, dividing them to Republicans, Democrats, and various nationalities, and we're not Americans, then we're not going to succeed. America only survives by a united people. If we're not united, it's not going to work. United States, united people, we must be Americans. So get rid of all the other garbage, and if your loyalty is to a political party more than it is to this country, then it's all over. You can't, you know, and I see this, and I mean, I've continued to hear it from good old Mr. Huckabee on Fox News, him and He continues to obviously endorse John Micah, which I sent him a letter in reference to. But he also is out there saying that Marco Rubio is the perfect example of today's conservative Republican, blah, blah, blah. Well, Mr. Huckabee, if you think Rubio is a conservative, you are drinking way too much Kool-Aid. And, of course, you don't live in Florida. Why don't you talk to a few of us here in Florida who actually have a clue, and we can tell you, and we can prove to you he is not a conservative. He is a liberal progressive in promoting the One World Order, Agenda 21, and amnesty and all the other stuff. But he does have a very nice face. He's nice to listen to. We have a president who's nice to listen to, has a pretty face. That's why he got elected. So I guess you Republicans just don't learn from your mistakes. But anyway, on to the next matter here. Oh, I wanted to kind of mention to people, I think I have solved my problems that I was having last week. I was having all sorts of technical difficulties with the chat room not working correctly and my screen flipping out on me, and it all had to do with some plugins that were not in correctly. But I think I have that taken care of, so hopefully if you're in the chat room tonight, I'll be able to see you and respond to you from time to time. And let's see, what else? Tonight we're just going to have a general discussion. Don't have anything specific scheduled for tonight, and you are more than welcome to call and join the conversation. 347-857-4364, 347-857-4364. Press 1 for the host queue. And if you call in and you do not press 1 for the host queue, we will just leave you out there to listen. And we won't interrupt you. You press 1, then we know you want to join the discussion on the air. So we'll do that. And let's see, what else is going on? Well, I'm not going to get into it right this minute, but we'll talk a little bit about my ballot. I think it's kind of interesting because I am a no-party affiliate, but I've actually got the Democrats listed on my primary. It's the only one for the state attorney. And they're listed as the two Democrats. So, and there's only two. There's no one else, so they shouldn't even be on here. It should be going to the general ballot. So I'm not even sure why that's on there. But, well, maybe that, I don't know. I guess they're going to try and elect somebody in a primary, which if they do that is very much against Wagner v. Gray, and we need to make sure we keep track of that one. This is State Attorney Jeff Ashton and Lawson Lamar. Lawson Lamar is the one who's a fossil who's been there forever and needs to go. They're both Democrats, so for that part doesn't matter. So it looks like they're trying to elect somebody in the primary. But, okay, on that note, let's see, what else is going on here? A couple of really biggies I've got to mention. Here in Florida, we have State Senator Gary Siplin. He recently uncovered a bunch of information on SunRail, which we call ScamRail here on Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman. He found out about the conflict of interest and all the insider trading deals that have been going on, the various people who are in cahoots with each other, not allowing for open bidding, giving the contracts to their friends and family, total corruption around SunRail. This by itself should be putting a timeout on SunRail to reinvestigate the whole thing. So hopefully we'll get something going on that. But this just came out in the last couple of days. It's a SunRail scam, the conflict of interest, giving government contracts to their friends and cronies and, you know, family members. And it's Florida State Senator Gary Siplin who uncovered this. So congratulations for him for doing that. And then, let's see, we've been talking a lot about the toll roads around here in Florida, and I think the federal tax, Americans ought to know, their federal tax dollars to the tune of $400,000, and I'd be willing to bet John Micah knows something about this, $400,000 to study congestion pricing in Florida. Congestion pricing in Florida, it all means that at rush hour, they're going to charge you more money to use the toll roads. So at 5 o'clock traffic, when you need the toll road, the expressways, you need the expressways the most, they're going to charge you the most. This is a way for them to scam more money from the people. They call it congestion pricing. And they say, well, this congestion pricing. This keeps people from driving during certain hours of the day. But you get off work at that hour. You know, you're going to and from. You're going to pick up your kids at school, whatever it may be. They act like people just say, well, you know, I feel like driving at 8 o'clock in the morning. It's just the time I like to drive. No, it's usually because they're, you know, their work schedule. But this is the way they're going to penalize you for driving in the busy hours. So they're going to be able to really make the money off you. And then it was Channel 9, WFTV here in Orlando, that I saw this article. And they go and compare it to California, saying, oh, they have found it. They really like it. Well, Channel 9, why don't you go talk to the people up in Georgia on I-85? They'll tell you how they don't like it. But, of course, you know, that would mean we would have fair, balanced, honest reporting, but we know we don't have that. But, anyway, just know that $400,000, federal tax dollars, went to study congestion pricing on three roads in Florida. It was the Turnpike, the 528, and the 417. And guess what they decided? They decided, yes, we really like congestion pricing. Let's go hike all those tolls. So for those people who are out there using the toll roads in Central Florida, especially those three, well, they'll do a toll of them. They use those three as the test. When I say all of them, there's a lot of them here. Just plan on having congestion pricing so your toll bill is going to go up even more. It was kind of funny. They interviewed one lady who was frustrated by them wanting to do this and said it wasn't right. And then as she was going away, she said, well, it really won't matter to her. She's moving out of Florida anyway. It's too expensive here. She didn't want to live here. She'd been chased out of Florida. So I thought that was kind of an interesting comment, too. So be prepared. More toll taxes abuse on the way in Florida if people don't get on the bandwagon and do something about it. So on that note, let me go to Charlie and see what Charlie's been up to today. Hey, Charlie, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine. How you doing?
Yep, I'm hanging in there.
Okay, you were talking earlier about some of the things that they're doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm looking at Article 6 of the Supremacy and Oaths. Article 6 of the Constitution of the United States, Supremacy and Oaths. This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made, or which shall be made, under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding. Now, to me, that reads that the laws of the states have to be constitutional. Anything
yeah.
in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding. If it does not hold up under the laws and the rules and regulations that are in the Constitution of the United States, which was designed by the Founding Fathers for the protection of we the people, against the tyranny of those we may elect to office. There's a lot of laws that need to be removed from the books, and those who have put them on the books need to be punished. This means your elected officials. And one of them right now is what you just said about SunRail.
Mm-hmm.
Insider trading. And contracts being issued without bid. Well, Senator Gary Siplin found out.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of those is in violation of what I just read. Because they are not the law of the land. They are in violation of the constitutional rights of those who were not able to bid on those contracts. Because they were not put up for bid. Therefore, that is also a violation of the fiduciary duty of our elected officials and appointed officials, whoever is working on the SunRail project, be it, which includes Mayor Teresa Jacobs and the commissioners, and there are lawyers on the commission. It seems like Gary Sipplin has come up with a can of worms that he has just kicked over, and they're going to be crawling all over the administrative building on Robinson. And we, the people, have to make sure it happens. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Constitution is the most, one of the two most honest founding documents that we have. The Declaration of Independence is the other one, because the Declaration of Independence was telling King George that this is what we, the people of America, are going to do. We're going to develop our own country of honesty, integrity, and God-loving. And that's just what they did. 52 of the 56 founding fathers were devout Christians. The other four were atheists who believed in a strong moral concept for this great country. Because without that, you have nothing but anarchy, which we almost have now because of the ACLU. But all of this stuff is going to be... Huh?
I was going to say, did you want me to give you any of the details on that, who was doing what on this thing?
Oh, definitely. On this SunRail thing, it's good because, Sally, I have already worked on, and I sent it to you today, is lawsuit number 2. And I upgraded it again. It was have one little typo in there. That's Terry found out and proofread it. And she says, oh, I left the word in that I should knock out. And it's not that bad, but she liked it, and she thought it would be something that would fly in federal court. I have since taken the federal court form. That's where I can't afford to pay for the case. And I started filling that out, and it looks like I may qualify. So it looks like we are going to be going down to file this case against Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, for violation and of their fiduciary duty to we the people by failing to pass a budget in the years 2010, 2011, and 2012. That is all mandated in the Constitution under, I believe it's Article 3, Section 9 or something like that, or Article 1, Section 9, but it is in there. So we have to take action. And since Harry Reid is so popular now, with his comments about Mitt Romney, I think the timing would be perfect. Because even Nancy Pelosi is in there voicing her intellectual opinion of nothing. And so I just thought I would pass that by you and those who are listening, that it's time to take action, and the action has to be in court, because the more we talk to each other, the more nothing gets done. When you go after them in a court of law, you are actually going to wake them up, because a court is for the protection of we the people. And the Constitution is the greatest instrument and document in this Constitution, along with the Declaration of Independence. The two of them go hand in hand. The Declaration is the promise, and the Constitution is the guarantee. And so, in the Declaration, where Sally is so well at reading that one section in there about who is the government and what they are, do you want to read that again, Sally? Or don't you have it handy?
You're talking about the American's Creed.
Not the American's Creed. You just read that. Talking about where we select our government in the Declaration.
Okay. Let's see. Well, first off, before we do, let me finish what I was starting to say earlier. This was just going back to this case I mentioned with SunRail.
Now that we've gone over and said about the violation of the Constitution, let's do that SunRail thing with Gary Sipplin, Senator Gary Sipplin, because I do believe that if the senator can't do anything about it because it would be going against his peers, and that hypocritical oath that they seem to have in the law, you and I don't have to take that hypocritical oath. We can just go ahead and go after them. So, all right, tell us what Harry Gary Siplin has come up with, and then I'm sure you're going to email it to me.
Yeah, and actually you should already have it. I sent this out to a group of people earlier today. Okay, and I sent it out in the email as, I put it out as Fox 35, Fox News Alert, because they never report the facts. It's like, how come nobody was reporting on this? Okay, let's see here now.
Now. Nobody's been reporting on this at all, which means they're in violation of FCC 99-390, failure to keep the people informed. That could mean a loss of their license. If there are any listeners out there who would like to start up a business and put in for a license to operate one of the local TV stations, get ready, because you can go to the FCC and sign a complaint against any one of the local stations or the network in regards to FCC Rule 99-390, and cite the fact that they are failing to report important information regarding the government of this country, our representative government. And what Sally is about to say about Gary Siplin is a very important part of our government, keeping us informed. And if the networks have failed to do so, you have a good chance of being, you'll have to buy all of your own equipment, but that license is golden, because that's where you can make all the money on the commercials. And then you can hire your own friends to do the commentating. Go ahead, Sally.
Okay, the article is called Sunrail Conflict of Interest Contracting Exposed, and it's dated August 2nd. And this one is from the Florida Courier. So floridacourier.com, you can go there and find it. And in here it makes reference to, I'm not going to read the whole article, but this is Gary Siplin, Senator Siplin. My staff discovered that ACES Consulting is owned by Robert Gurney, husband of Sunrail public liaison Marianne Gurney, who has had her own lucrative consulting contract with the project for years. Don't you like that? Project for years. For over 5 years, ACES provided FDOT, Florida Department of Transportation, FDOT, with services that were not competitively bid, denying other qualified firms the ability to compete for the business, said Siplin. It seems that Sunrail management believes that taxpayer money is their very own piggy bank to be used to enrich themselves, their family, and their friends. This is conflict of interest contracting at its best. Mr. Gurney didn't win the work fair and square. He got an insider hookup, said Siplin. To make matters worse, I suspect, as a Sunrail public liaison, Ms. Gurney managed her husband's contract directly, directing work that was done on the website for years. My staff recognized Ms. Gurney's name from two job fairs that we put together back at the end of May. She is the same woman who told me that a person who attended the job fair was not qualified for an advertised position as a surveyor on the project, despite the fact that he had over 20 years of experience as a professional surveyor. So these are the games that they're playing. And you got to remember who was the heart and soul of good old Sunrail, who was determined to get Sunrail through, and whose family also benefited on the other side from the federal side. So this is not the whole article, but let's see. It says, I am urging the state attorney and the U.S. attorney to open an investigation into contracting practices on Sunrail and to immediately halt all current and future procurements until a thorough investigation can be conducted, because if Sunrail management would do something so clearly wrong, they would do anything. So here we go. This is a major step in trying to shut down Sunrail because of the corruption. I think this should bring Sunrail back to the table and be all reinvestigated and re-debated, and this should be a way for us to stop it. So those of us who don't believe in wasting all our money on ridiculous projects that do nothing but cost a lot of money, do nothing but give money to the families and the friends, that we need to really be contacting Tallahassee, contacting Governor Scott contacting everybody in D.C. and saying, stop wasting our money, wasting federal dollars on these kind of transportation boondoggles, and shut down SunRail. So we have a chance to do it.
Well, you know, with all of that, I think what I'm going to do is make a copy of that and take it to somebody who is right on the SunRail route, who have been waiting to see what they were going to do with SunRail because they can't make any decisions on the property that they have because of SunRail's possible widening of the tracks, which is in violation of our rights. And I would say that this now makes Governor Scott in collusion with bribery, corruption, and insider trading, because even though he doesn't know it, he's like driving the getaway car. He's the one that signed on to have SunRail a reality. And John Mica
well,
now
if
is
he doesn't
also,
do anything, to me, right now, after this is being uncovered, let's put it this way, Governor Rick Scott, you can no longer play dumb. You know, you can't go on and act like, put the blinders on and act like you're clueless. Now you know what's going on, and if you fail to take corrective action, to put this thing back on the table, to veto it and put it back out there, to be
right,
redebated and the whole thing again, then you are corrupt too, and you should be part of that, part of a lawsuit against the state for
right,
this SunRail. This is corruption.
Oh, and now that we also have that in the Constitution, which I got to find my hard copy of the Constitution, because I want to get that one out where you said it's the private partner,
yes,
public-private
partnership. Article 7, yeah.
Article 7,
Section 10 of the Florida State Constitution, that the state, the county, the school districts, the municipalities are not allowed to become joint partners, investors, or any of that with the private sector. No partnerships allowed. It was the whole intent was to prevent the collusion of government in the private sector. But we know how creative these people can be in the gang of Tallahassee gang of thugs, as I call them. But in any state, in any public office these days, they will create their own executive work orders or executive orders or whatever to skirt the intent of the law. But the fact that's so plainly stated there that they are not allowed to be partners with the private sector, it all proves it's bogus. I don't care what they wrote someplace else, they violated the intent of the law, and
but
we need to
right,
go after that people as well.
If the law
and,
is not
yeah,
if the law is not constitutional, it is a violation. It has to be it has to be okay in the Constitution of the United States, which is our protection. Because the state of Florida has accepted the United States Constitution as the law of the land. However, the state of Florida can go ahead and operate as they see fit for what they do, but they cannot take away the rights of the people, nor that can they encumber the people on something that the people don't want. And therefore, everything that they have to do with SunRail or anything else has to be approved by the people. And a perfect example is the Citrus Bowl, the Orlando Arena, and also now the, how would you say, the Art Center. We all said no to that, and Buddy Dyer swore up and down that no, it was not. That his council was going to vote for it, and the only one who didn't vote for it was, naturally, Bill Diamond. Everybody else did, so all of them are in violation of the Constitution of the state of Florida, because private money is being used to build part of that art center.
Yeah.
I don't care
if it's
being loaned.
Excuse me. Let me back up just a couple of things you were saying before, just to finish
right,
off the other topic. You were making reference to the federal the U.S. Constitution and the state constitution. As far
right,
as I know, I don't really know what the U.S. Constitution says in reference to partnerships. I'll be perfectly honest. I'd have to go out there and look. It's the state constitution that takes it down another notch to not allow it. So in this case, it's the state constitution that says they are not allowed to be in collusion / partnership
right,
with the private sector, just so people understand there's the two different elements. And
right,
also, you were asking me to read the those key words of our declaration that are so critical, and I can do that now if you'd like.
Well, let me say, you just went ahead and say the state constitution has a public-private partnerships are unconstitutional according to the Florida thing. The part that I'm driving at is we the people are the government of the United States. We the people are the government of the state of Florida. Therefore, the two constitutions go hand in hand. So if it's a violation of the people's rights in the Florida Constitution, it is also could be a violation of this United States Constitution is what I'm driving at. So, in other words, our elected officials are supposed to be operating this country through the Constitution and in not violating the constitutional rights of we the people. They just can't go ahead, and what I'm saying is when the people say no to the commuter rail, seven people elected to office do not have a right to change the name and come up with another rail system. But John Micah kept putting pressure on him to do that, and he also did whatever he did with Governor Scott. But now we're getting the commuter rail that we said no to. They have encumbered us without our knowledge, so they're in violation of total in violation of their fiduciary duty. Therefore, they're in violation with the public-private partnership, so they're violating the Constitution of the state of Florida that they swore to uphold, and therefore they have also violated the Constitution of the United States that was designed to protect we the people from the tyrants we have elected into office here in Florida. That's what I'm driving at. Now go ahead and read your the creed, because the creed is very ties right into this as to what the duty is of a patriot citizen.
Do you want to, okay. I read the American Creed. The American
okay, no,
Creed
no, read the part about the patriot citizen, how we elect our officials. Yeah, it's time to do that, and then I'll read the one out of the last part of the Constitution again.
Well, I'm going to read the part that I read all the time out of the Declaration.
That's right.
That I think is so key. That to
go
secure
ahead.
These rights, governments are instituted among men deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. I say that again, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And then that next phrase, which is so important, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute a new government. That we have the right. And that is that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute a new government. And
okay.
Right now we're working on this revolution is going to reinstate the real constitution and get rid of all the crap that they put out there.
Okay.
I mean that's my wishes at least.
Now what you have just read out of the Constitution. For those who do not understand the Constitution and its wording, read it to them in present English language. You know, where it says governed, it says elected, put the word elected in that type of thing. Can you read it that way?
I'm just reading the way it is, the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, da-da-da-da-da. That, to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed.
From the consent of the citizens of America.
Well, if you want to translate governed, what governed means.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying is, because there are some people that, who's the governed? Because you remember, there has been a dumbing down in the education departments across this country as far as social studies go. So how many people really understand when we're using the terms out of the Constitution if they've never read it and say, who's governed? A lot of people don't even know where Pearl Harbor is.
I think when it says it is the right of the people, that kind of
lends
itself to avoiding that piece. But truthfully, the people who are listening to the show probably do know that. But,
but
you got a valid point that there's definitely those who don't understand any of it.
Yep. Well, anyway, you got that now. Let me go one little step. Now, you read that, and I'm going to read. Now, what Sally has just read, the consent of the governed, which means we the citizens have elected our representatives to be representatives of we the people. We send them into these offices to do the work that we want them to do. Not what somebody who pays them a lot of money in their campaigns, such as, you know, campaign financing, corporations, and all this type of thing. We don't want them telling our elected officials what they want to do at our expense. We don't want John Micah giving our tax dollars to CSX and then saying, okay, taxpayers, because I want this commuter rail to go from DeBary to Poinciana, and then we're going to add on to it because I like trains. CSX has agreed this, and I'm going to give them $150 million of your tax dollars so that you can pay back through taxes, even though you don't want this train. That is not governing. When we the people said no at the ballot box, we were telling them we don't want a rail system. Maybe an above-the-ground system, like at the monorail system, like at Disney, to go from Daytona Beach to downtown Orlando and then over to the airport. Now, that would be something nice, but it's $10 million a mile at that time. However, $10 million a mile would be $650 million. Why do we want to pay CSX $150 million when we could get 15 miles of monorail, say, from downtown Orlando, or even from, Wet and Wild and International Drive to the airport? But it's not happening. All this is to put people to work temporarily building something, and then all of it falls on we the people to pay for it and keep it running. And you are not going to fill it up because there are only a little over 1 million people in Orange County and parts of Seminole County, and the rail system is so far away from the majority of the people that you are not going to drive there to get on this SunRail. So keep that in mind. We voted them to represent us. We did not vote them to represent the builders, although they are supposed to do something for the builders to create jobs. But so that you understand the two between the Constitution and the Declaration, what Sally just read to you is, it is up to we the people to change our government, those who we put in there, like John Micah, vote him out. Vote in Sandy Adams. Judge Perry. He's been in there a long time. Vote him out and vote in somebody else. How about Earl K. Wood? His name should not be on the buildings and on the checks and everything else. It should be tax collector. And he's over 90 years old. He doesn't need the job. He only works 2 days a week for over $100,000 a year. That is overpaid. They should not be overpaid. They should not be making any more money in public offices than the people are making in the private sector. But now the Declaration of Independence was sent to King George, demanding that he make changes, which he did not do. Well, we now have a Congress that doesn't want to do anything for us anyway. They're always busy in Washington, buttering up to the special interests so they can get more money for their campaign coffers, which I'm quite sure is there's some kind of a skimming system there, because they all seem to be coming out quite wealthy with their investments and everything else. So now let's go to the Constitution of the United States, the first three words. We the people. We the people means the citizens of America. It doesn't mean the Congress, the legislators, the governors, the president. No, it doesn't mean that. It means we the people of the United States. It includes them. You know, 535 members of Congress, includes the president, one, includes all of their administrative assistants and everybody else, yep, that they're all included in it. We got 310 million people in the United States. So the elected officials are minimal, but they have a lot of power because we the people gave it to them. But they have abused that power by getting rich at our expense, by denying us our rights. When Congress takes a cost of lifestyle adjustment, making $165,000 a year, and then they go ahead and give themselves a raise to $170,000, and then they deny people who are making $19,000 a year. They won't even give them a $30 raise or $40 raise per month to help cover the cost of their medical. Uh-uh. You have a totalitarian government. You have corruption. You have tyrants. You have people who are not patriot Americans, as far as I'm concerned. You have people who are only for one person, themselves, and let's add their families and whatever they can get out of we the people. The Constitution is our guarantee that we will be treated in an equal manner. Congress has now failed that in a big way. And now it's time, because they have failed to pass a budget for 3 years that is mandated. It proves that they are ignoring the Constitution, and it's time to take action on it. And I've written it up, and it's going to be filed in the very near future, hopefully by Thursday. I'm waiting for some response from it, and if I don't get any response from it, I am planning on going down there to see about filing it myself. And I need other people on there, because it takes two people who have witnessed the fact that our elected officials have failed to pass a budget for 3 years. And that is already documented. That is a violation of the laws of the land. It's a violation of the Constitution. And Harry Reid is the number one person sitting on this. And it could very well mean that President Barack Hussein Obama is the spearheader of the failure of Harry Reid to pass a budget for the good of the American people. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's your country. You can sit there and watch sitcoms, American Idol, or whatever, and you can ignore your country. And then when you wind up living in a camp someplace, then you can just look yourself in one of those little mirrors and say, uh-huh, you cheated yourself out of a decent life in America, the land of the free and the brave. Back to you, Sally.
You were talking, now, you know, everybody knows about the fact the budget, well, I shouldn't say everybody, those of us that even halfway pay attention to what's going on, know about the fact the budget has not been passed for 3 years.
Right.
And this is it's not the House. The House has passed their budget, and then they send it over to the Senate, and then the Senate doesn't do anything with it. And this is the because of Harry Reid. He's the one who controls the floor, what's going to be voted on and things like that.
He's the dictator of the Senate. He has become the dictator of the Senate, and somehow the Senate has allowed him to do that, which means when the Senate set up their rules, they set up the rules for the benefit of the Senate, not for the benefit of the country, and likewise the House. There should not be a partisan vote in either House. There should not be, the Democrats have control, so we're going to vote for Obamacare. Republicans now have control. We're going to vote it out. No bill should come through Congress to the president that is not equal protection for all of the people. And so, therefore, if Obamacare was so important, it should have been done in stages. A few stages,
but here's what we're going to do.
But that is not what they do.
Yeah, but that's another matter. They didn't have to vote on that constitutionally.
Well, let me finish
that. Well, go ahead and finish what you're saying, then I'll go back to what I was talking about.
Okay. Well, they did that with the Obamacare. The Democrats voted in the Obamacare. Republicans now voted in a budget. The Democrats refused to vote in the budget in the House and in the Senate. So Harry Reid doesn't even pass it on to committee. Harry Reid is violating his fiduciary duty to pass the budget that the Republicans passed to the committee so that the committee could go over it and make the adjustments so that it could be presented to the Senate. Now, according to the Constitution, we cannot sue them or question them in regards to their votes while in their respective houses or in travel, and they cannot be sued or whatever for travel to and from their respective houses. However, their fiduciary violation, we have every right to go after them because they have failed we the people. They have failed to present the people of the United States with a budget that tells us and that is designed to keep the spending within reason. We have had an unreasonable spending spree for, let's say, the last 8 years, to the point where we now are, how would you say, every dollar counts. And President Bush overspent, and President Obama has really overspent our tax dollars. And the whole thing about it is, the only way we correct it is by taking action against them. And that's what I'm planning on doing very soon. And I'm sure Sally's going to be with me on it. But there is something about the court system where it costs $350 to file a case. I'm going to try to do it for nothing because I don't have a lot of money because I am Social Security poor. So I'm going to file a paper to see just where I land. But if not, I will go into debt for this great country of ours. And I hope there are other people who will see the same thing and start waking up and doing something. I'm tired of talking. It's time to take action. Back to you.
Okay, getting back to what I was talking about. Okay, you got the, as I was saying, the budget goes to the House, the Senate, and the Senate, Harry Reid, deadlocks it, you know, the Senate. He's the one who blocks it from coming to the floor, blocks it from the committee, blocks it. He is truly the one who has blocked the budget being put to a vote.
That's
now,
right.
Okay, go ahead.
No, no, I'm just saying, I'm agreeing with you. Yeah, he has blocked
okay.
it from
okay.
being sent to the committee, so therefore he has blocked the work of the people.
Okay, and what I'm getting at is trying to decide who exactly is responsible, there's the multiple pieces to this puzzle. He's obviously the one with the key. He's the number one on the hit list of not allowing the vote to take place. But,
right.
And this goes to the same thing with what happens over in that White House, at what point do the people around him, the senators and the House of Representatives, when does it become treasonous to totally ignore the Constitution and allow this to go on? Shouldn't they have, I mean, aren't they violating their fiduciary duties? Aren't they guilty as well? And there's this part of me, and I know somebody talked to you about this at some point, or I know we've talked about it in the past. To a certain degree, every single one of them, anybody who did not protest and take some kind of action to make Harry Reid put that out to a vote is guilty of violating the Constitution and violating their oath of office and those kind of things, and truly should all be included.
That's in the complaint. When you read the complaint, I just redid it again, so it's in there now because Susan sent me an email and asked me, is there any way, because they all seem to be involved in this failure to pass a budget. And I told her about it, so I went ahead and told her what I was going to do, and then I just emailed it to her, I think it was this morning. She sent me another email that she had a power outage. So I sent her another one and said that here's the new one, and that's the one I sent to you. And it does include the Democrat and the Republican, and I had a hard time thinking about who the Democrats are in the Senate, and so that I could mention at least one of them and then put my favorite saying on the back of it, et al.
Yeah, but to me it's not the parties, it's the individual. You're not going after the party, you're going after the individual.
No, we're going after every elected official because they have either the duty to, if they voted for it, that's one thing. But however, if they vote for it in the House and they don't put enough pressure on Harry Reid like we're doing, then they're failing in their fiduciary duty to we the people. I have to go file a complaint in court to get my elected officials to do something. That means they're violating their fiduciary duty to me. And that's what I'm going to do.
You made reference to Democrats and Republicans, and as far as this lawsuit is, the parties themselves, the entities of the parties themselves are irrelevant
right.
to that piece. The whole
That's right.
the core problem, which is what I said at the beginning of the show, until we get Americans in Washington, D.C., instead of Republicans and Democrats, we'll never get past it. Because right now, we don't have any Americans there. They're their own
their party
divisive
politics.
Thing. But, right. I mean, you can't go after the parties per se. But,
no.
You know, if we could get some Americans in D.C., Washington, D.C., it would really help out.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I worded it in such a way, it needs to probably be brushed up a little bit before we file it. But it's the whole thought is there, and the violation is there. And now we have all this constitutional, you know, the fiduciary, which is, if found guilty, they will have to give up their pay and all of their benefits and everything. And I'm saying is, they are not supposed to be voting party ways. They're supposed to be voting for the good of the American people. So that means if the party is more important to the elected officials than the people, that's another fiduciary violation because they lied to us. They said they were going to work for us, and we put them in there based on their promises to work for us. But now they lied. So that's another violation that can be brought out in court if we have to go to court. But when you get home, you'll see it. And if you want to email it out to other people, that's fine. It does have a couple of typos in it. I got to remove one small little word. But Terry said it's not that bad, but I'll work on that. And then I'm getting ready to go, and I've got it already titled to where it goes to four different people. And I also worked on that area as far as filing it goes, $350. And I don't know how much the process server would be, but somebody said it's like $75 to $100 each. So if that's what it is, we're looking at maybe $400 for filing if we do four different people. However, we have to think about if we file it against Harry Reid et al., Senator Harry Reid et al., then that means he should be able to, that should include all the other senators, regardless of what their party is, and do the same thing for House Speaker, Congressman John Boehner et al., and that should take care of everybody. That, and that would be two people we file against. But I made it out so we do four different ones, the House Speakers, and then also an individual congressman and an individual senator of both parties to make sure that we got to cover everything, because you know how the law is. You've got to be very specific on it, or else they'll find a loophole and say, oh, you didn't mention that. So that's the part I was looking. I want to make sure we cover all the bases in regards to who we filed this against. But it's almost ready to go, and you'll see it when you get home. Back to you.
Okay. Okay, so you don't list them by name, but you do mention that there's others involved here. Because I just know that...
Oh, you got it in front of you now?
No, I'm listening to what you just said.
Yeah, right. No, I got basically, I did it for Harry Reid. I mentioned Boehner's name, and I think I put Bill Nelson's name in there. And I can't remember who else. There was somebody else that I put in there, too.
Rubio.
I don't know if I put Rubio.
Well, if you're putting Bill Nelson, the senator, seems like you'd put Rubio, too, but I'm not really sure.
We could put Rubio. But Rubio, I want to try to get some in. Rubio just been in there how many years? 2 years? So now he would be in violation of it for 2 years, and I was trying to get somebody who would be in there for the whole time.
Well, I mean, if Rubio wants to be the vice president, I think he better figure out how to get about a budget passed.
Oh, that's true. We can do it. We can put Rubio.
Why leave him out? Don't discriminate against him because he's younger and cuter than Bill Nelson. Come on.
That's true. I mean, yeah, that's right. Because I got the et al. After his name anyway, so that means anybody who's senior to him too. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's almost ready. I'm sure that you'll have some comments on it. Please send them to me as soon as you do, and because I think that's a very important one to get out there. Something to get filed and get it in the, how would you say, get it in the mill so that people know about it. And I do intend to send it to the contact the various media when the day we get ready to go down there and do it. I'd like to do it by the end of this week, like Thursday.
Well, that'd be great if you get it filed this week. I'm still still have our We the People versus the Ballot Box establishment.
That's right.
And I'm thinking about putting that into two different pieces, one to go right after, one that would be a little bit easier, I think, to go after the state when it comes to the RNC, as to how they have blocked the RNC. That might be a less complicated, if you will.
But we have to include the DNC because they're both in cahoots, because there's no differentiation in the law that they wrote. It's executive committee. That doesn't matter. It doesn't say DNC, RNC, so we have to go for both of them. Both parties benefit from it according to the law.
Okay, I'm going in reference to what they did to force Romney to be the candidate.
Oh, okay, I got you. All right. All right.
That piece of it. And, I mean, technically, if anybody, I don't know who attempted to run or wanted to run against Obama, but the truth is the DNC didn't let anybody run against Obama.
No, that's true.
To me, you know, but the truth is I don't know who attempted to run. I know what we've seen happen to the Republican side of who they, you know, how they forced Romney on us when that he wasn't really the chosen person. And,
It's very easy when somebody says, you know, I'd like to run for president because Obama's not doing a very good job. And all the powers to be in the Democrat Party have to say, you're going to have to do it on your own. He's our choice. And, I mean, that's it. I mean, it's a block deal. I mean, it's whoever the powers to be in the Democrat Party. They like what he's doing. It could be Soros who could turn around and say, no, it's going to be Obama again. Nobody else. I'm not going to help anybody else. And then he's putting all this money in through different channels in all of his companies or in all of his people that he wants to take over this country. Because Soros is not a very good Hungarian. He's strictly for himself, and he's way up in his years, and I think he's trying to bring about the implosion of America, even though we helped him during the war. But maybe there was something that he got mad at after the war because of the Iron Curtain. I don't know. But the thing is we just have to go after them. And I tell you what, once we file these things, I would say that people will start paying attention. Right now they don't know what to do or how to do it, so we have to go ahead and stick our necks in the noose. But I don't believe we're going to be sticking our neck in the noose. I believe we're going to be putting our best foot forward for this great country.
Okay, I was out here looking on the Florida candidate list, 2012, President of the United States, and there's actually, let's see, one, Herman Raphael, Harry Lilla, Ryan Adams Lipner, Sean O'Brien, of course Barack Obama, and Damian Stone. Those are all Democrats that are listed on the candidate list on the Florida site. So that's, and of course, until they do the official nomination process, blah, 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 you know, there's nobody technically nominated yet to go to the general ballot. But that is, so technically right now you got, you know, about six other Democrats out there, five, six other Democrats who were seeking the presidential office. And how much did you hear about them on the news? Did you have any idea if there's any other candidates out there?
No, only what you said before, you know, there were other people out there, but nobody knows about them. Our media using our airwaves is in violation of FCC 99-390 because they are not bringing us the news. They are being told who to push, when to push, and how to push it. It's like communist Russia in the Cold War in 1947 and 1948. That's how it was when I was a little kid. The Russians kept all of their residents in the dark, and that's what our Congress is doing, keeping us in the dark. They're doing things behind the back, and Obama has been doing it. He doesn't have an open, transparent government. He is the most closed government there ever was. He's keeping us in the dark about his past. That is how non-transparent he is. He has the most opaque presidency and lifestyle of anybody. He spends money like it's going out of style. Over $10 million for vacations. That's what I saw come across the emails. $10 million for him and his wife on vacations in his first 4 years. When this country is suffering. $10 million, how many people could have gone to work and earned $30,000 a year? He could have put an awful lot of people, but no. He and his wife and his daughter. I never heard of anybody sending your daughter on a vacation with their friends at taxpayers' expense. It's not in the Constitution. Who's going to pick up that tab? It's not the taxpayers' responsibility to let the kids go on a special vacation with all of that, the guards and everything. The children are underage and they should be with their parents. That is called parenting. Do we have an example of non-parenting? Oh, President Obama didn't have to take his kids. He let his kids go down to Mexico. With who? With taxpayer-funded and paid-for bodyguards? What do you think of that? What do you think of that?
Well, I can tell you what I think about it. It's I think it's totally hypocritical for a person who's complaining about how much the rich people have and Mitt Romney and his elevator, car elevator, and whatever else, while he's going out there doing that kind of thing. And, of course, unfortunately, the news media doesn't ever report what he's spending his money on, what he's wasting tax dollars on, and those kind of things. He goes out there and tries to condemn Romney for being wealthy when he does, you know, that kind of garbage. But you were talking about violating the airwaves. I wanted to go back to I sent out, you know, the email I was telling you about earlier, the Fox News Alert, Fox News Alert, Fox 35, pork spending alert. And I just sent this out because about the Sunrail, Scamrail thing and how the news doesn't report the facts and how Fox News is out there propping up John Mike instead of reporting the facts that he's a rhino.
Porker.
And
right.
Yes, huh?
Yeah, go ahead.
And their failure to, both Fox News is out there doing it one way, and then, of course, Fox 35 locally doesn't report anything either. And I had copied some people from Fox News. Yes?
Well, I think what Siplin has found out should now resonate in the media, and if it doesn't, then FCC 99-390, we're going to have to file a complaint with them.
Well, and really getting back to my point, and you're right, and that's we can talk about that in a minute, but the a reporter, I won't put any names out there, but a reporter from Fox 35 sent me an email being totally offended that I accused this person of being bought and paid for and that I was insulting that person. And I explained to that person, I did respond back, and I didn't accuse any individual of being bought and paid for. It's the networks. The networks refuse to, they're the ones who control the message. It's not really the individual reporter. And I think most of us know that. And the reporter, they should see how much gets blocked because they're right there in the middle of it. But it's, you know, they're not going to give up that money they get from all that advertising and that undue influence. Again, I said, you know, they are influenced, their reporting is influenced by their sponsors. They're not going to go against what the Republican Party wants. They did the same thing with Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio would not have been had nearly the support had not been for the millions and millions and millions of dollars Fox News gave him in free airtime. And, of course, now they're doing the same thing. However, there is more of a competition going on here between Micah and Adams, and we'll see how it all plays out in the end. So that was definitely a piece of it. But going back to, in my response to that reporter, I asked him, I said, well, do you really think you serve the public interest? Do you think Fox News and Fox 35 reports the truth? Does fair and balance mean honest and balance? Does the word fair mean honest? I don't think it does, my own opinion. Fair? I'm not sure what fair means.
But I don't think it means honest by any means. It's the way they do their reporting. And I asked him, I said, well, if I'm wrong, well, you know, if you feel like Fox 35 has really reported correctly on John Micah, please send me all the links and the articles on it, and let me take a look at what you've reported, because I don't see it that way. And I've been in the transportation piece, so I've been watching what John Micah has done for years, and I also know what they reported. And I know how many times I've sent information on the corruption to them, and they never reported it, which is definitely, like you said, a violation of FCC 99-390, serve the public interest. I don't think they know what serve the public interest is. When you lie and falsify the facts, you are going against the public interest. But I don't think they understand that. But I just thought it was kind of interesting that a reporter jumped on my case about, well, I take that personally. I am not bought and paid for. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. No, the individual reporter isn't. Or I don't see the individual reporter. I see it as a network thing.
Yeah, it's the network telling the individual reporter, you can't do this. You
right.
can't.
Blogging,
you cannot.
They decide what they're going to put out there. Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead.
You cannot do this for Sandy Adams because we're pushing John Micah.
Right. And we're not going to cover Ron Paul because we're pushing Mitt Romney.
That's right. Right.
Same thing. Let's see. What was the other thing you were just talking about too? I'm going back and forth here. Let's see here.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, go on to any of the next subjects you wanted to discuss tonight, anything in particular. We were talking a little bit about, you know, the lawsuits. And, I mean, there's just so many lawsuits that we can have out there. And the one with Harry Reid, there's absolutely nothing stopping anybody, and that's why you sent it out to everybody, for other people in other states to go file the same thing. You know,
that's right.
I mean, it would be so nice if we could, you know, we had Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day. We need to have Harry Reid Sue Day or Sue Harry Reid Day.
Right. Oh, yeah. I also sent this to Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
I sent it to Judge Knapp and everybody else, but you know it takes a while for their screeners to get through it. And the heading on it says, Harry Reid may be sued. That's the subject line.
Yeah.
And I put the may be sued.
That.
Huh?
I saw your email on that one. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I did. And somebody else said that there's another word that somebody gave me that would even be more effective to put in there. And I'm trying to think of it. Oh, Harry Reid et al. Could be sued or you know, a lawsuit or something like that, because we have to file it. We cannot get away. I mean, they have totally violated the constitutional rights of the people, and we are witnesses to it now because they did not pass a budget for 3 years, and they have spent money, and that is a big part about this thing that really motivated me to write it and to send it out like I did. And Sue said she likes the idea. She wants to see what we can do about it. But let me see if I can find that one section in here.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, let's see. When I was talking about my ballot, my sample ballot,
mm-hmm.
Like I say, it's got state attorney on there, and that's... Jeff Ashton and Lawson Lamar, and it shows them as being Democrats. And everything else I have, because I'm a no-party affiliate, the only other things I have don't have any party affiliation because I'm a no-party. So I'm trying to figure out if this ballot is messed up.
Could be. Okay, I found it. Okay. The reason I wrote this lawsuit against Harry Reid et al., and others, because of their failure to pass a budget for the last 3 years. I read in Article 1 of the Constitution of the United States that protects we the people, Section 9,
no money shall be drawn from the treasury but in consequence of appropriations made by law in a regular statement and account of the receipts and expenditures of all public money shall be published from time to time. Our founding fathers, when you add the word honesty to this great country and the honest intent of all of our founding documents, time to time does not mean no budget for the year. It means a budget every year, and that is a timely device. Not one every 3 or 4 years. Not one when you feel like it, but one, how would you say, developed as it has been over the past year, of one every year, mandated to be done by April the 15th. Is that correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's my understanding.
It has to be passed by the April 15th for the beginning of the fiscal year, October the 1st, because that is the year of the incorporation of America, October 1. So that means every budget must be approved by April 15th that goes into effect on October the 1st. For 3 years, we have not had a budget. For 3 years, they have spent money where they want, when they want, without any accountability as to where the money's going. That is a violation of Article 1, Section 9 of the Constitution of the United States that was and is for the protection of we the people and our money. So now we have both houses of Congress involved in a fiduciary violation. And let me say, we will file this suit. That is my resolve. It has to be filed, Sally. And the faster we do it, the better off we... We will still file the suit regarding We the People versus the ballot box. Because maybe the FBI is investigating it, even though they didn't come across. But we file this one here, and if we don't get... Mike Sinan, Valerie Bowie, or Shannon Butler, and their bosses don't come, then we just may have to add them to violation of our rights using our airwaves, because they have a fiduciary duty to we the people also. So anyway, that's where I got it from, and that's what it is. And it has been on the news and on Fox News, on the O'Reilly Factor, Hannity, on Greta, on Brett Baer, and Lou Dobbs, no budget. It's a violation. Well, who's taking action? The Senate and the Congress don't seem like to go after themselves. So, we the people have every right to do it, and we have the proof of that. Because the Supreme Court of the United States of America said it would be oxymoron to not think that the citizens of the United States cannot sue the United States of America. And Congress is the representative of we the people in and for this great country, the United States of America, and so they can be sued. Okay. I think that's it, and I think we have done it, and I think it's time that we quit talking, take action, and those who listen to this on the archives, if you want to do something for your country, get in touch with me at cklein2@bellsouth.net. C-K-L-E-I-N. Number 2 at bellsouth.net. And in your subject line, please put Lawsuit for America. Re-lawsuit for America. Okay? And let's see a very short note from you. And I will respond and let you know what we're doing. It costs $350 to file it, plus serving charges.
And once it's filed and approved by the court, which it should be, because it is a violation of our rights, then it could bring, it could actually change the way we are governed. The Senate made the rules how to operate their Senate. The House of Representatives made rules on how to operate the House. But every one of those rules should be in the best interest of the citizens of the United States of America and not for the benefit of those who we elect to office. They are our servants. They are our employees. We are not theirs. God bless America. God bless our troops. And God bless all of the patriots out there who are going to take action in a nice, quiet, and peaceful manner through the courts. Okay, Sally, it's up to you.
Okay. Well, let's see. There was talking about Harry Reid and, you know, all of his garbage he was saying about Mitt Romney not paying taxes and all this other nonsense. I think it was interesting because they kept saying, well, he said that on the Senate floor because he couldn't be sued there. You know, this is where I think we need to challenge some of this garbage. That's not the end. You know, to not be sued, to the whole point, and I totally understand why they wanted to protect the elected public servants in case they misspoke, in case
right.
There was truly a genuine mistake. But to go and use that as an excuse to go out there and perpetrate a fraud on the people, I think is not valid. And I think he should be called to task about it, and it should be, if nothing else, an ethics violation if they had any ethics in the Senate. But, I mean, you know, that kind of garbage, too, truly should be challenging. And I just love it when you hear these people, these pundits saying, well, he's doing that there because he knows he can do, he can say whatever he wants there and he can get away with it. No, that's not true. I mean, that is not the intent of the law. That is not what the intent was. The intent was to allow for true accidental mixed statements and or incorrect information where they truly had some misinformation. I don't have a problem with that. I don't think you should be able to sue them when you can understand why something like that would happen. But I think you should definitely, there should be grounds for when they intentionally go out there. Well, yes, this is what I believe in. Well, wait a minute, I have a lobbyist over here who's going to give me so much money, so now I'm going to flip. And because that's bribery. We're trying to prove the bribery, they say you can't do that either. You know, it's, there's something seriously wrong when we have no control of this government. It's not for the people anymore. It really isn't. And I think the garbage with what Harry Reid did there should be some kind of a test case. A test case or, and, you know, truly through the ethics violation, it seems like the Senate should be able to do something of an ethics issue for that as well. What was the other thing I was going to mention? I had two things I was going to mention. You were talking about the lawsuit. I'm losing it. I should have written it down. On my ballot, I was talking about my ballot. If it says incumbent, and I don't have any preference and I vote against them, I vote for somebody new. But right now, the biggest issue, I know who I'm voting for the Orange County Commission District 3. That's Lydia Papano. But when it comes to some of these circuit judges, I really have to do some research on them and try to come up with who. I do know that Belvin Perry, he's the incumbent, he has to go. And it's Daniel Perry, interesting that they both have the same name, who would be the replacement. So do that. And like I say, I don't have any idea why I have Jeff Ashton or Lawson Lamar on my...
Belvin Perry, right. Incumbent. Lawson Lamar, nothing. Now, why would they put incumbent after Belvin Perry? And Daniel Perry is going against him. They should put something like, how come they don't have not related?
Well, I don't know about that part, but I do find it interesting that they don't put Lawson Lamar as the incumbent.
That's right. I'm saying Lawson Lamar, how come they did not make him an incumbent like they did Belvin Perry? This is another
right.
thing that we need to keep a copy of this for our We the People lawsuit.
Yeah. Yeah, you wonder what else is going on with this ballot, the way they've done this.
Well, now we've got them on that. We've also got them on that other one, so it's time to go ahead and file that one too. And like I said, I'm going to finalize this one here, and I'm going to take it down hopefully on Thursday, unless you want to go down some other day.
I'll just have to get with you on the schedule for that, since I work during the day. And also, as you know,
I think I may have somebody else who is unemployed to sign with me.
Okay. Yeah, well, that would be good because, talking about the money. Oh, that's what I was going to ask. Do you want to give people your name and address to send you any checks if they want to help fund the Harry Reid situation?
Let's see. Yeah,
established an account that's going to be used strictly for funding the lawsuits, correct?
That's right, strictly for doing the lawsuits. And, it's something I believe I'm dealing mostly with patriots, but, you know, I put my address on everything that I email out anyway when it has to do with the media and all that, because the media will not put things out if they don't have your full name, address, and phone number. Or, yeah, your phone number, your full name, address. And so I put it out there. So.
Okay. Well, did you? I don't know.
I gave them. I gave the email address. If they're willing to help with that, I'll be happy to send them my mailing address via email. I'll do it that way. Yeah. If they're willing to make a donation or something like that to help defray the costs of the court costs, because that's all it'll be used for. I will not use any of the money myself. And anything that's left over from court costs would go to the troop support for our wounded warriors and that type of thing. I would not keep any of the money.
Right.
Since I am a member of the American Legion Post 286, I would definitely do that if need be. But eventually, I'm sure that with our plans for the different lawsuits, we will probably wind up needing money. And but the thing is we're going to go in, I'm going to file everything. I've got my information from last year that I can take to prove that I didn't make a lot of money, and I'm going to go down there and I'm going to file it. Takes one person to file it, but it takes two people to do the claim, and that's why I need whoever else wants to be a pro se litigant. Just send us something on the email so we can get you in charge that you actually are interested in it, so I can attach you to it, because I'm writing my name et al., which means and others. But right now, I'm going to just try to qualify for no charge at all. And then we will have three or four people who will help us with the processing the complaint. Because if we go to court, if they don't want to correct the wrongs of Congress out of court, we'll do it in court. And we do it in court, I'll tell you, we're going to go for the jugular, because there's a lot of violations to the Constitution. And I feel very confident that we can do it, provided, of course, we get a judge who believes in honesty and integrity and in the honest intent of the Constitution. And if not, then we have a judge who should not be in that position. And that's just the way I look at it. Okay.
No disagreement there, and I do believe it's going to be. It's going to, after what we've seen with Obama and his eligibility and the various things that have happened in the Supreme Court, trying to find a court that's true, a judge that's truly honest these days is I think going to be a task. Didn't I see an email going out with Barack Obama with a different last name as a foreign student, or a different something with his college ID as a foreign student or something?
As a Sotero. His name was Barry Sotero.
Yeah, Barry Sotero.
There was an ID card with his picture, a likeness of his picture at a younger age.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody found that somewhere, and they said it's authentic. You know, there is one thing that he can do. He can go ahead and block all of his personal stuff, but there's not. If there's somebody else who has one of those things or had a copy of it, like worked in that position, and they know where they had extra copies, because sometimes when a place makes a ID card, they'll make an extra ID card because students and people lose them. And so what's to stop them from, you know, well, we'll just go ahead and make two now that we're at it. In case he loses his, he can come by and we'll have another one. And he never came by and got another one, so they just kept it. And then they just put it in a file somewhere and they forget about it. That could be.
That, or it could be it was electronically stored someplace and somebody got the copy of it just like they do with your driver's license. They keep all that electronically stored too.
That's right. That's true. But the thing is, why is he so secretive? Why is he so? But then they want him. They want Romney to give out his tax result. Well, why don't they have Barack Obama give out all of his college and school information? He won't do it. Whoever vetted him did not vet him. They did not vet the president of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama, and I believe that falls all on Nancy Pelosi's back. But see, nobody's going after her either, because the two parties are in collusion with each other. The two parties are buddy-buddy together. They do this same charade, just like with Ramos and Campion. 179 people signed a petition to release them from prison. What happened to the other 350? Were they getting a kickback from the drug cartels? I would believe so. I would believe that the drug cartels were kicking back to Congress, and they did not want to lose that money, because that was probably all cash and unreportable. And that is a suspect that I believe we have we have the most crooked government money can buy. And it was all supposed to be in total honesty. And we have it right here in Florida, big time. All right, Sally, I think I've said enough for tonight.
No, we still got a half hour to go.
I know.
Let's see here. Well, I do think it's funny, just like you said. I mean, Barack Obama, he is out there fussing about Mitt Romney showing all his taxes when he's covering up so much too. And again, it goes down to these people not honoring the Constitution, not ensuring that the person is actually a citizen. And at what point do we start using the word treason? What point do we classify these actions as treasonous? Because I really do think a lot of it is. And again, you know, well, okay, are we saying that they're allowed to continue these treasonous actions and we the people just have to sit here and listen to it and take it? It's like it doesn't make any sense. And that, again, is why these lawsuits are so critical in a couple of ways. And that's to, one, obviously identify and say, you know, we've had enough, we're not going to put up with it anymore. But to see exactly how corrupt the system has gotten. If it's so corrupt to the point that you can't remove the treasonous actions of those in public office, that we then, you know, that's, again, we have to somehow fire this whole government and replace every single seat with a citizen, a legal citizen. And get rid of them all. It's just a massive sweep because they're all part of it. And I don't. It's just it's very trying times because the majority of us do not want any kind of violence. We don't want to see any bloodshed. We want a peaceful revolution, but we want our country back. And it just seems like time and time again, we get blocked from being able to do that. Yeah, and it's just very frustrating. And we need everybody to get engaged. Do something. Do it now. Do your own lawsuit. Do whatever. But we've got to start really speaking up and you know, calling an end to this mess. It's absolutely ridiculous. And let's see, I'm losing my mind tonight. So that Alzheimer's stuff I think is kicking in here. So I had something else I was going to mention when you were talking about the Harry Reid thing there and that the others, the Obama thing, the cards. They have these cards out there, can be stored forever, and they go and block all this information off so we can't have access to it. It's all disgusting, And like I say, there was something else that I was going to mention through all that. Yeah, let me see. Whoops. Looks like we have a lady from Texas who's ready to chime in. I figured she was going to want to talk about that Obama thing. Was I right?
You know me too well. Hi, y'all.
Hi there.
Hey, Matt Greeny.
I just wanted to remind Charlie that there's already proof out there that Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton knew that Obama was not eligible to run as president. They tried to stop him. She was bought off for $10 million. Then she went in with him to help write laws to that would eradicate the natural born citizen clause, but none of them went through.
Right.
So they've all known. The Democrats went as far as when they filled out the form to submit his name and to be on the ballot as president, they changed the paragraph on the application that stated that the person to be chosen as vice president or president had to be determined to be a natural-born citizen. That got changed. They made up their own little form, and they changed that paragraph.
Then that is, if there's a copy of that somewhere on record, and it does show that they made a change, that is a treasonous act against we the people.
Well, it's there. It's there in black and white.
That's a total. You need to get a copy of it, certified copy of it, and it has to be documented in the court. And then you've got everybody who was involved in it, and that would be considered a total violation of the people's rights to know who their president was, where he came from, and a cover-up. That would be a penalty enough for incarceration for the rest of their lives.
Well, sweetie, I hate to tell you this, but this is what Orly Tate and Obama Ballot Challenge and Sheriff Joe and everybody else in the country except our Congress is yelling about. The proof is there. The evidence is there. There's evidence that we don't even know who the hell Obama is. We don't even know what his real name is.
Well, they're now looking at Sotero.
Well, they've been looking at Sotero. That's nothing new. The only thing new that could possibly come up about Obama is that someone had finally got their hands on his school records.
Well,
have something new. But other than that, all this other is just rehash.
Well, the schools should not, if the schools are receiving government money in any way, shape, or form, accidental and all that, then it should be no problem for the taxpayers to go get that information, because we the people have been supporting the colleges and his schools, and therefore that his records become public record.
No, that's what Joe Arpaio is fighting. He cannot get a copy of his he can't get the birth certificate. We know that. Two, he cannot get any school records. Everything is locked up tight. He cannot get a copy of a legitimate passport that the man is using, because he is not using a U.S. passport. And they proved that the passport that he's using has been doctored.
Well, then I'll tell you what. We've got a complete Congress that is in violation of the Constitution of the United States.
We not only have a complete Congress, we have... who handles, what department is it that handles passports? They're covering it up. They are helping us. Every department we've
That's
got in Washington
Security.
Involved in this crap.
That would be Janet Napolitano, which means she would wind up going to prison for the rest of her life.
Well, she's got to go to prison for the rest of her life for everything she's already pulled. I mean,
this is
a no-brainer. That whole entire bunch up there in Washington has got to be gotten rid of.
But do you know what the whole problem is?
Do you know what the whole problem is, too? The fact that we have the Republicans working in cahoots with the Democrats now.
Well, that's what I said. The whole damn bunch of them up there. I mean, you may have 87 new congressmen that went up there, and this was, I forget who I remember listening to, and which I think it was a guest on your show, as a matter of fact. 87 new people went up there to try and get something done, but 87 against 500 and some odd, that would be 400 and some odd people. You can't get anything. They can't accomplish it.
That's why 87 people from 435 means that there's about 350 people.
Oh, well, let's not forget 100 in the Senate.
No, what I'm saying, most of those were Republican congressmen. There were
but let's not forget you've got 100 of them in the Senate. Some of the Senate was new as well. And that's 500 and some odd. You've got 503 or 4 or whatever. They are nothing but walking, breathing crooks.
Yeah.
That's all they are.
Well, the thing is now, did you hear us talking about the lawsuit?
I heard everything. I've been listening to you since 6:30.
Good girl.
And
yeah, that's right, 6:30 your time. It's, okay.
7:30, right.
Right. But the thing is it's real close. I've already got it, and I just didn't email it to you. Maybe Sally will email it to you because I keep forgetting what your email address starts out at. I tried Doreen, and it doesn't work.
I'm going to put it in the lobby for you because I don't care.
If I get hate mail
that make me feel good. Because I'm going to tell you what, my little car, have I told you about my little car?
I don't know.
I got me a little Kia. It's a little, everybody calls it a truck. Some call it a station wagon. I call it SUV. Hell, I don't know. It's just got seats that fold down and I get some extra space in it. Anyway, I ordered some of those Impeach Obama stickers, bumper stickers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I have one on the hood, and I have one on the trunk. I have Lord deliver us from Obama, Lord save us from Obamacare on one side, and Impeach Obama on the other side. Then I've got all my little Tea Party, you know, don't tread on me, and this and that and the other on there. And here lately, I get people honking at me and waving at me. I pull up to park somewhere, and there's people going by, and they're giving me the thumbs up. I went to Dallas. People were blowing their horns and waving and going by and waving. People stop me in the parking lot and want to talk about it. And you know the funniest thing about all this? Now, this is how people are today. They'll stand and talk to you, and they tell you how they hate him and how this has to change. And I say, I have an extra one of these bumper stickers in my car. Do you want one? Oh, no. Well, why not? They might do something to my car. I said, does my car look like it's got anything done to it? No, I can't do that. That's what we're fighting.
Well, let me tell you, I can definitely tell you a story on that one because I use window chalk. I have a couple of bumper stickers, but I also use window chalk. And I put across the top, honk twice, and right now the message is stop government waste, fire Congress. And then I had something about go, so, you know, candidates wanted, go, learn how kind of thing. And people will honk at me all the time. And then I do have a couple of small bumper stickers, the America, and that kind of thing. But I changed the message. We're using the window chalk on the back windshield. In my minivan, my political van, there's window chalk on the windows except for the front. And I have messages all over the place. And people will honk twice. They'll give you the thumbs up, just like saying, and all those kind of things. But as soon as you say, well, you know, I've got some window chalk here. You want to put a message on your back windshield? 99% of the 99.9% of the times they'll say no, I can't do that. And I said, well, why? And there's some that are afraid. And I have had a car messed up one time because of having a message on the windows. and the windows were smashed in. But the majority of the time, even the bumper stickers, like you say, some people don't believe in putting bumper stickers on a car. They worship a car like it's some kind of temple or something. I don't know.
Way to put a bumper sticker on that when you get ready to take it off, all you got to do is peel it off. Mix soapy water together, spray the car or whatever vehicle you're putting it on, and put the bumper sticker over that, seal it down, and whenever you get ready to pull it off, it'll just come right off.
I've definitely heard both sides to what you're saying. There are those who I don't believe in putting bumper stickers all over my car. I'm not going to do that. That trashes it.
I didn't either until this became serious enough to me that I felt like people had to know that there was someone out there who gave a damn.
And that's what I'm saying. And that's kind of the same thing. I was like, you know what? If that car means more to you than this country, then I guess we're all in trouble. Because, you know, especially here, the first time when we were fighting the I-4 tolls, I had a message on my window about the I-4 tolls. Every time I stopped and got gas, somebody would talk to me and say, they're putting tolls on I-4? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, that's because the media doesn't want you to know about it, but I'm telling you. So I definitely communicated the message much better than any media ever did, and people were glad that it was done. But so many people will not deface the windshield of the back windshield of their bumpers. It's just, and it's pathetic to me. It really is.
They said to me, well, they might do something to my car. I said, do you have insurance? I said, I'm a single woman. That's my only mode of transportation. But I look at it this way. I'm paying an insurance damn good money. That if something happens to it, it'll get fixed.
Right. And that's exactly it. And you know what? If you run scared, if Americans are that scared, then they're not able to follow the Americans' creed. They're not willing to defend this country.
Exactly.
Which is what I think it ultimately comes down to. Certainly, you know, if I'm around with those signs on your truck, what kind of response do you get? Which I know.
Well, I have an email here that I wanted to, I don't know if you received anything on this or not, and I think it's worth bringing up. It's a rumor, and it says that first right out of the box. And it says, I'm going to report here is only a rumor that presently can't be confirmed, but it is of such magnitude that it must be made known if only to prepare America for possible terrible eventuality. And while it has not been confirmed, neither can it authoritatively and convincingly be denied, certainly not in a United States where our constitutional rights are under constant attack. Now, this rumor involves an agent of the Department of Homeland Security who allegedly informed a reporter at the Canada Free Press of a false flag or fake event to be initiated by Obama administration operatives regarding the November presidential election. Now, I'm not going to read this thing, you know, verbatim to you. I just want you to see where it came from and what they're saying. And according to this, this whistleblower that reported this, there is going to be a staged assassination attempt on Obama's life that would and be blamed on white supremacists and subsequently used to enrage black and Hispanic communities, driving them to rioting all across the nation, which would then give them the authority to put in martial law. Then you would have Department of Homeland Security put up checkpoints restricting travel and delaying, possibly indefinitely, the November 2012 elections. Now, I'm not going to go through anymore. It doesn't have to. It says, that tells you enough right there.
That sounds
I've heard
like
similar
a conspiracy
rumors,
effort.
I believe it. Yeah, Charlie, go ahead.
To me, that sounds too much like I've heard about it before. And if it was going to be happening, I am sure that it would be out in the media already, because if the media
did not report... Oh, no, it wouldn't, Charlie.
Yep.
No, Charlie, because the news media is a part of this. And this is not something that's public. This is a whistleblower, and I've heard all kinds of things out there about what he would and how something was going to happen to cause racial unrest and so forth in the country in order for him to initiate martial law. That's why he's been so busy getting the NDAA and the Patriot Act and all this other crap into motion.
Doreen, there is one saving grace that we have. There are 23 million veterans in this country and their families. And I would say most of them have guns.
I'm not
worried about them that much because even in your area, Sheriff Mack and all the sheriffs and everybody else, how are you going to, you do something like that in this great country, you better believe it, there will be another civil war, but it'll be much, much worse than the first one.
Well, I understand that, and I'm not going to disagree with you on that point at all.
And I would say that the major targets will be right there in Washington, D.C.
And I'm not going to disagree with you on that. My point is that here is just another thing, and whether this is true or not, they said it can't be. But this just has to, it's like he says down here, the guy says, the more we talk about the potential for a staged bogus presidential assassination that would trigger massive civil unrest and possible martial law,
right,
the stronger is our defense against it actually occurring. The nation will be watching. Patriots everywhere will be on alert. The Obama administration will be under scrutiny more intense than ever before. It doesn't have the guts to take on millions of Americans when we're ready for anything. In other words, I'm not saying that we're not going to stand up to it. I'm just saying this. They're saying that he is planning on using this as a way to try and stay in office for another term without having an election.
I don't put it past him. I would say that he would be barking up the wrong tree big time because he has no idea what we the people are like.
Well, this is true, but the man is so full of himself, he thinks he can do no wrong.
Well, the thing is,
do you think this thing with the temple had anything? It was one of these, I don't know you want to call it.
Yeah,
these people that just got killed.
I think we're going to see more of this type of stuff happening, and because they're saying, you know, this guy was in the service, but he was dishonorably discharged, and he had a white supremacist band.
Well, there are white supremacists, and there
I'm saying
they're skinheads and everything else, and these are all people who have gone off the deep end and do not really believe in the freedom of America. Because when you have people in the United States who are still going around with a swastika, and we have thousands and thousands of brave men and women who were killed because of the Nazis, and these people are going around with the Nazi insignia, I tell you what, they to me are, how would you say, the scum of the earth. Because they have no idea what it was like in World War II. They need to really sit down and watch some of the movies like The Longest Day and the Tuskegee Airmen and different shows like that, like The Battle of the Bulge.
Yeah, but Charlie, some of those fools say that never happened.
That's like the
massacre of the Jews. A lot of those idiots say that never happened. That's all made up.
Well, those idiots that you hear just happen to be able to get to some stupid member of the media who will allow them to say that on there. And I think a lot of times they say that on there just to show their stupidity. And I think the media actually is, in a way, doing the United States a favor or the people a favor. But what happened is our own government are dumbing down our students by not showing the World War II, and even informing them as to what happened in World War II. Oh, it's too traumatic for them. Let me tell you, I never had any counseling effect on anything when one of our classmates dropped out of school, and he was killed in the Korean War in a very short time. They never called us in and had it. They made an announcement about, and we had a short prayer for him, and that was it, and we went on with our business. We had a lot of guys that died in World War II, but we didn't have people saying, oh, yeah, Mr. So-and-so passed away. He was killed in action and all this. Sure, the word was bad, but they didn't call us all off to the side and give us counseling in the classroom.
Well, that's because y'all were raised to be able to handle what daily life presented to you.
Yeah, that's because most of us went to church. And then
right.
We were able, that's
the families
right.
were hard-working, God-fearing people, whereas what we've got now are people, and we discuss this, I think, every show. We've got kids out there whose families are raising them. It's okay. The world, everybody in the world has to be treated fairly. Everybody has to win. There are no losers. You get a gold star whether you fail or you pass.
Right.
And they're not forced or made to deal with what life gives them.
True. Oh, I agree with you. And the thing
you know,
and
again, we're back to Dr. Spock again, my favorite person, who I would like to stick every book he ever wrote up his butt sideways.
You're good. You're good.
You know, grab your ankles because I've got a lifelong job. But
right.
You know, and that's what we're looking at today, and that's why we've got people who are scared to put bumper stickers on their cars.
Oh yeah, they're politically they don't want to ruffle the cage. Well, fortunately, there's people like you and a bunch of them, like Arnie and John and Bruce and all them, that we're going to do it. It takes like they say, it only takes like about 3% of the people to wake up the majority, and it'll happen. And that's why I said we're real close to that. And thanks to Terry, I'm getting ready to go down there and file that thing. And it's going to be interesting to see if we get any media to come down there, because if they don't do it, then fine.
They're not going to do it.
Then what? That means we'll have something on the media then, because I'm going to let all of them know.
Sweet, we've got more than enough on the media. I'm telling you.
Oh yeah.
We don't even have a media anymore.
Well, Sally knows of some media that says, if you get ready to do something like this, let them know. Well, she'll be able to let them know very soon, because we're getting our ducks in a row right now. I've already worked on it, and we'll have to get you a copy of it. What are the first three letters of your email address?
I put it in the lobby. It's D, the letter D. My last name, which is Taft, the number 5 after it.
Okay, got you. D-Taft, got you.
SBCGlobal.net.
Okay.
Got it?
I think I have it in there, but I couldn't remember what it was. And I wrote out Doreen, and I said, no, that didn't go. Because once you go 2-3 letters, you don't get the deal up.
Right.
So, okay, DT are the first two. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try to. I hope I don't. I hope my memory keeps working on me.
And
okay, Sally,
I think you need to let Orly Tate's and Obama Ballot Challenge 2012 know what you're doing.
I'll send it to you, and then you can send it to them.
All right, I will do it. And also, there's another.
Send it to whoever. Once you see it, send it to whoever you like.
Well, I'll put it out there to everybody I know, WND and all of them.
Yeah, once you put your... See, the whole thing about it is I can send it to a bunch of people, but if they don't know me that well, they're going to delete it. Because I get emails from people I've never heard of, and it says forwarding on it. And I just go ahead and say, I'm not interested.
Right.
Because they don't put the right wording in there that catches my eye.
Well...
But, you know, if I get something from somebody that I know... I generally save them off, like Sally and people that I always deal with. But some of the others, I mean, they'll send me something that has totally nothing to do with taking action.
Right. I understand. I have a thousand and some odd of those sitting in my mailbox right now.
The things that really get me is, oh, here's a YouTube you have to watch. Okay, what's it about? I mean, you know, I'm not going to go ahead and go through the YouTube opening – for something that somebody says, and then next thing you know, it's a picture of a billboard, or it's something, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with what I'm doing.
Right.
But it's something, oh, you got to watch this. And I said, no, you know, I'd like to know, put it in there. What is it about? Watch this YouTube on so-and-so. Or just say what the darn thing is.
Yeah.
I mean, there's many times I get something really nice that I have from somebody, and I'll go ahead and change the subject line to something that, to me, is more, how would you say, explains it better.
Well, they just figure since it's from them, you know it's got to be good.
That's true. You hit it just right. Uh-huh.
What, there was a billboard they're going to have in North Carolina for Obama, you know, made that mistake once or whatever it is, you know, fooled me once. I think that's what the billboard is. I saw that just today or yesterday.
Yeah, I heard about that. That and somebody wants them to take it down, but they said, no, it's freedom of speech.
That's right. And after seeing that, I'm like, okay, so what are they going to put along I-4 and 75 here in Florida for the Romney one? So I figure something will happen on that one next. They'll come up with something.
Well, if I had $1 million, I'd put Charlie's lawsuit up on a billboard. Now, you know that would be good.
All we need to do with that lawsuit is get it out to the people and say, you need to really read this. And somehow we got to get it out there. The one that I have, the one that I just did with this Harry Reid, I actually copied it from my word processor and put it in an email. So you'll be able to read the whole thing right when you get the email. You don't have to do a forwarding on it.
Thank you.
In other words, you don't have. It's not an attachment.
I got you.
It's not. It won't be attachment, right?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Because it's only like a page and a half. So it worked out fine.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're getting down to just a couple of minutes here, and good discussion as always. And please, everybody out there listening, do something. Do something. Take action. File
Even
the
if
suit.
It's
I mean,
wrong, do it.
Do anything. Exactly. Seriously. Go after Harry Reid. We can do that. But anyway.
Talk is cheap. Actions take time and money, but when you take action, you'll get their attention. And don't take no for an answer in a court of law, because the court is supposed to uphold the constitutional rights. And so if you can attach the Constitution to a violation, the judge has to be very careful about what they do. Because the whole thing about this is now, we have always had a budget passed, except for the last 3 years when Obama's been in office. Why? He is violating the Constitution, and therefore he is violating the rights of the people to know where their money is going and where it is earmarked for. And that is a violation by Harry Reid et al., which means it could mean Obama. That will be going to the courts in a day or a couple of days. Okay? All right. All right.
Okay.
God bless America, God bless our troops, and God bless all of the patriots in America. It's your country. You have to save it, because your elected are stealing it from you. Good night.
Night, Charlie. And,
hi, Charlie.
Good night.
You got your last couple of seconds here for Ms. Texas.
Well, as usual, great job. Enjoyed the conversation very much. See, we've got some guests. I hope they're looking in the lobby and get the website you put up there for their information. Love you two greatly. You're great, great patriots. God bless America.
Thank you so much.
God bless Texas.
That's right. Thank you so much for tuning in. We always enjoy your discussion. You always add a lot to it, and you are certainly one of the patriots out there, too. So I will go read those last words of the American's Creed, and then we'll sign off for the night. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. We must defend the against all enemies, foreign and domestic. On that note, thank you for tuning in. Tune in on Thursday. We'll see what we're going to talk about then. And as always, may God bless USA. Good night.